St. John's Nation, thank you for once again tuning in to St. John's Missionaries Baptist Church podcast. This podcast goes out to all the graduates, either you're graduating from college, graduating from high school, or just graduating to another grade. Minister Jordan Gibbs is going to bring the word of encouragement. This podcast is titled, You Are Chosen, You Are Responsible. And once again, congratulations to all the graduates. I hope you enjoy this podcast, and like always, be blessed.
Now, today I feel like is always a special day when we're in the house of the Lord. But right now we're honoring children that has set a milestone in their life right now at this moment, and that's a special thing because not a lot of times we get to give kids the credit that they deserve a lot of time. So let's give them another round of applause. Now, as we're starting this service, we are asked Jordan to do our opening scripture.
Good morning, church. All right, I'm going to be saying Proverbs 1:5. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance.
Now we'll have the opening prayer by Deacon Mabry.
Steps and direct our path this day. Keep us in that straight and narrow path. Don't let us go to the left or to the right, but straight to the hill, which cometh our help. All our help come from the Lord. I pray, O God, that you would create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. I pray, Lord God, for the youth of this church, Lord God. I pray for the grads, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for allowing Eliza to be in this church, Lord God. He was great inspiration on the youth ministry, Lord God. I pray, O God, for each auxiliary in the church. I pray for the pastor of this church, Lord God. I pray for his wife, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, for the leaders of this church, Lord God, and the leaders of this country, Lord God. I pray that you would touch them in a mighty way, Lord God. Let them lead your people in the right way, Lord God, that you would have them to be. I pray, O God, for the sick and sick, Lord God. Touch them in a mighty way. I pray, Lord God, for that homeless man, Lord God. I ask that you would touch them in a mighty way, Lord God. I pray for those children that don't have the right direction, Lord God. I ask that you would touch them in a mighty way, Lord. I pray this prayer and all the prayers, Lord. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Today, right now, church, I don't feel like we have the energy that we normally have or that we should have. I just don't feel the energy yet that we all need to be. So let's try something. We're going to say, we're going to talk to our neighbor and say, neighbor. Come on, we can say it better than that. Say, neighbor. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad God got me here today. Now, please tell me, do y'all believe that? That didn't sound like, come on now, y'all got to sound like y'all really believe that God got y'all here. Because it's a lot of things that we could have been doing. It's a lot of places that we could have been. We could have been feeling so bad that we didn't get up. And a lot of times you do feel like that. And you just feel like sitting on the edge of the bed and laying right back down. Everybody's been there. But through the grace of God and the goodness of God, that he let us be able to do the things that we want to do and that we need to do. So today's message is train up a child the way he should go. And when he is old, will not depart from it. See, they know it. They know it. So saying that is that everyone, all the elders in here have been raised by their elder, and you've been, as a child, you had to get up and you go to church, and there were things you had to do. So now we got to remember that we still have to do the same things that to these children, you know, teach them the way that we taught. We turned out pretty good. We turned out pretty good. Some of us did, and some of us are still in work in progress. But that's okay, though. We in work in progress, and God knows that. All right? And God still has faith in us to do the things that we need to do. Y'all have to understand that this is a big moment for me, because not just being in front of God, but also being able to present, you know, having my son up here after these long, hard years I had to fight, that we had to fight as a family. And not just my son, but two cousins, you know, that just says a lot, you know, that we have a family that's growing and pushing. And then the church family, that we have the young kids that's pushing also. That's amazing, because we can go and we can see the statistics on the kids not graduating, falling out, or just things happening in the world as of today. Some people are not even getting a chance to finish school because of someone else's choices. So we still have to really be prayerful and really be leaning on God and asking him to really take care of us. So now we get a pleasure, because we get to hear a selection from our youth.
To our God. with one accord.
Now, one thing, that's something I give them a much praise, because they'll get up here and sing, and that's one thing I won't do. I talk to you now, and I tell you how good you look, and I tell you how good God is. But singing, nah, we ain't even going to, we got to know our boundaries. And that's what God do. He going to tell you, hey, son, come on back in now. This is where we going to put you. He going to put you, what Pastor say? God going to put you in a place where he needs you. I got you, Pastor. And y'all don't know how good y'all look, so I'm going to give y'all some credit. So y'all give yourself a hand clap. Now, I'm finna talk something into existence, okay? So, you know, and like I said, that's one thing that our kids are not. They're not shy to get in front of people and do things and show how God is using them. Now, we will have our scripture by one of our graduates, our oldest graduate, matter of fact. And then you will hear The Bread of Life by Minister Jordan D. Gibbs. Amen.
Good morning, church. I'll be reading from 1 Chronicles, chapter 28. Please stand when you get there. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by chorus, and the captains over the thousands, and captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king, and of his sons with the officers, and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up upon his feet, and said, Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war, and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever, and he hath shown Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father he liked me to make me king over all Israel, and of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons. He hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom. Moreover, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day, now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, and the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. And now we'll move to verse 20. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not or be dismayed, for the good Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work of the service of the house of the Lord. Thank you.
Of being promoted to the next grade. We just want to give the Lord a hand clap of praise for them as well. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if you don't mind, seeing that we finally have some juice and we are well acquainted with each other, I just have a request, and I hope you don't mind saying it with your chest. Please repeat after me. Say, I have so much, so much to thank God for. I have so much, so much to thank God for. He's made a way for me. He's given me victory. He's opened doors for me that I cannot see. I have so much, so much, too much to thank God for. Now, if you sincerely believe that, go ahead and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Stand all over the place and acknowledge that God has been good to you. Hallelujah. I think we can do better than that. Hallelujah. Let's just look to the pulpit as a testimony that God has been good and he is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, having said hello to one another and given the Lord a hand clap of praise, let us bow our heads in prayer together. Dear Lord, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your power, your presence, your anointing, for all that you are, all that you have done, all that you're doing and will do in our lives, individually and collectively. We recognize that we are not here because we have been so good or because we have been so great or so obedient, but we're here because you are faithful and you have been kind enough not only to create us and give us life, but to bring us to this point so that we can glorify you, honor you, and serve one another in your name. And so, dear Lord, we just submit to you this morning. We ask that you will have your way in this place. God, let us not take it for granted that we have life, that we have health, that we have the functioning of our minds and the functioning of our bodies, that we made it here safely to gather together. See, everybody cannot do what we do. Everybody can't be a part of church because church is the gathering of believers. And we can believe because you gave us faith and because you gave your son. See, it's a privilege to gather in your name. Hallelujah. And we know that we don't gather in vain. Because when we gather, hallelujah, you are in the midst and you hear and you oversee and you respond to our faith. You respond to our prayers and you move in our lives to accomplish your will in the earth. And so we give you glory for allowing us to gather, allowing us to gather in your name, allowing us to glorify you. And so, God, we ask that you will just help us to focus our hearts and our minds on you and on you only, on your will, on your character, on your glory. We pray that you have your way, that you make yourself known, that you accomplish your purpose in the name of Jesus. And I recognize that this moment is not about me. Lord knows it's not about me speaking or saying anything. Because without you, nothing I say means anything. Yeah. It can accomplish nothing. But God, I'm a servant. I'm a servant for you. And I pray that as I decrease, you would increase. As I humble myself before you, Lord God, that you would stand up. Lord God, that you would empower me to say only what you intend for me to say. Yeah. Lord, that you would give me the strength to speak powerfully, boldly, clearly, and truthfully as you stretch forth your hand to do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, we thank you, believe, and receive. Amen. Amen. We can give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Now, this is hilarious. I won't even tell y'all what I did on the way in here. I flipped that bad boy around. And that's hilarious. First time in 12 years I did that to the paper. Anyways, so we thank Brother Antonio for reading the scripture. And that is where we are going to be coming from today. So in light of the scripture that Antonio read, I want to speak to you all briefly from this subject. You are chosen and you are responsible. You are chosen and you are responsible. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you are chosen and you are responsible. The book of Chronicles was originally written as one book and later divided into First and Second Chronicles as we know them. Written by an anonymous author referred to as the Chronicler, several years after the Babylonian exile. If you don't know, the Babylonian exile was a 70-year approximately period where God allowed the Jewish people to suffer captivity in Babylon as punishment for their idolatry and disobedience against him. Now, the book of First Chronicles reminds the Israelites of their history, God's promises, the consequences of sin, and their promised future hope for God's people. And throughout the book, the chronicler tells the story of the reign of King David while doing him a favor and leaving out most of the messy details of his life. Many of us are familiar with King David, and we know that many lessons can be learned from the life of David, many sermons can be preached from the life of David, and many notes can be taken on the life of David. Just to name a few, this is the David who was selected by God to be king when his own father did not invite him to the interview, demonstrating that what God has for you is for you. This is the David who was hired to be the king's personal musician because of his character, God's presence in his life, and his skilled musicianship, demonstrating that your character, God's presence, and your commitment to be good at what you do will open doors for you and move you closer to God's call on your life. This is the same David who defeated a giant, even though the Israelite soldiers who were experienced and who were older than him ran scared. Even though the king did not believe that he could do it, even though his own brother did not believe that he could do it, he went out and said, "I come in the name of the Lord." And he defeated a giant who the people thought could not be beat, demonstrating that you don't have to wait for other people's approval to do what God called you to do. Instead, go in the name of the Lord and he will use you to do what others are too afraid to do. This is the same David who went on to become a mighty warrior and later the king of Israel, winning many battles for the Lord, but also suffering many trials. This is the same David who had a man killed so that he could have the man's wife. This is the David who one of his own sons organized a revolt against him, causing him to run for his own life. This is the David who was chosen by God and succeeded in many ways and yet also failed in many ways. This is the David who thrived in many ways and yet suffered in many ways. You see, the story of David's life is not significant because of his flawlessness, but because of God's faithfulness. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, we are told that at the end of David's life and his reign as king, David assembled all of the officials in the area for what would be a ceremony for David to verbally pass the torch to his son Solomon as the next king of Israel. Now, David, being a proud father, being a king who had accomplished so much, could have gotten caught up. He could have gotten caught up in the celebration. He could have gotten caught up in the party. He could have gotten caught up in the emotion and the idea that what he had to do was done and that he was promoting his son to do what God had called him to do. David could have gotten caught up in the moment, but instead of being absorbed by the idea of his son transitioning, being elevated, being promoted, and graduating from servant to king, David uses this moment to give Solomon a meaningful message to prepare him for the next step in his life. And in his public address, David makes a few things very clear. He makes two things very clear. You see, David declares that the reason Solomon was going to be the next king is because God chose Solomon. Likewise, you are here. You are who you are because God chose you. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 5, we learn that God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. In Psalm 139, we learn that God is the one who created you when you were formed in your mother's womb. He's the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. He's the one who fearfully and wonderfully made you and ordained all the days, even this day of your life. So it is important as you live, no matter what stage of life you are living in, that you know that you are here because God chose you. You are nobody's mistake. You are nobody's random consequence. You are not the byproduct of happenstance or chance. You are here because God chose you. And while it is appropriate to give credit to whom credit is due, it's appropriate to be appreciative of your family members, appreciative of your support system. It's even okay to acknowledge what you have done. Make no mistake about it, you've accomplished whatever you have accomplished because God chose you to accomplish it. And today, if you can declare that Jesus is your Lord and Savior and that you have been saved from sin and damnation, you're saved because God chose you. And so as you take your next step in life, whether it's just simply another step into work, if it's a step into a new school, a step into a new grade, a step into a new opportunity, you take that step like you know that you know deep down in your heart, deep down in your mind, that you are taking the step because God chose you to take the step. David declared that God chose Solomon. And he could have stopped there and just had an all night long party. But he goes on to say that not only was Solomon chosen by God to be king, but that God had given Solomon responsibility to build a house for the Lord, where God's presence would dwell and God's people would worship. In the same way, it's important for you to know that God chose you, but it's also important for you to know that God has given you responsibility. You have the responsibility to respond to the truth of the gospel in faith. You have the responsibility to live your life for the Lord. You have the responsibility to maximize whatever potential God has given you and to give God glory while you do it. You have the responsibility to fully participate in God's purpose for your life. Now, in light of the fact that God had chosen Solomon to be the next king and to build a house for the Lord, David went on to offer Solomon some words of advice that I would now like to offer you. Number one, David says in verse 9 to Solomon, he says, know God. Know God. There are many things you can learn in this life, and there are many people that you may like to meet and get to know. But the most important thing you can learn is how to know God. And the most important person you can meet is God, because God is the only source of life, comfort, joy, and eternal life. Now, don't get it twisted. Let us establish something here. When I say God, I'm not simply talking about a concept of God. Because we live in a time, we live in a generation, we live in a culture that will completely misrepresent and misconceptualize what and who God is. You got folks who will tell you that they have what they have because the universe did this and that. You have people who will claim that everything is God. You have folks who believe that they are God. or that they can tell God who to be, tell God what to do, and tell God what to want. But it is important for you not to just have a concept of God. Because if I walk up to you and I say, hey, I know you, and you say, no, I don't know you, and I say, yeah, I do, because I came up with an idea about who you are, you're going to tell me I got you twisted. And a lot of people today, old and young, have God twisted. Know God personally. Everybody say personally. One theologian put it this way. He says, what were we made for? To know God. What aim should we set for ourselves in life? To know God. What is the eternal life that Jesus gives? Knowledge of God. What is the best thing in life? Knowledge of God. What in a man gives God most pleasure? Knowledge of himself. You were made to and should make it your goal to know God personally, and Jesus is the only way to know God personally. Jesus is the only way to know God personally. And if you came to know him some other way, you don't really know him. And there's absolutely no security in knowing God some other way. Now, on your own, it would be completely impossible to know God. Because you and I are imperfect and sinful and worthy of damnation and separation from God. And I know, again, we live in a time that is always given the messaging that you are so good and you are so great and there's so much awesomeness in you and you're so, that's cool. But let me tell you something. You're sinful too. And you're mostly sinful. You're mostly wicked on your own. Unrighteous on your own and incapable of meeting God's standards to have a relationship with him. And so God in his love sent his own son Jesus Christ to die as a substitute and payment for the debt that we could not pay. And this Jesus rose again and lives today. And so God has made it possible for us to know him through faith in Christ and faith in Christ only. How's this an encouraging word for graduates? How's it an encouraging word for people who are being promoted from one grade to the next, or somebody who's got a promotion at their job, or whoever you are, or wherever you are? Because I'll tell you something. Trevon mentioned Alicia Keys earlier. She used to sing a song, something about some people want it all. But I don't want nothing at all if I ain't got you. Everything means nothing if I don't have you. That's the spiritual reality between having a relationship with God and not. You can spend your whole life accomplishing so much, and at the end of your life, find out that it means nothing. And while you were doing it, it meant nothing because you didn't do it for Jesus. You didn't do it unto the glory of God. So go study, go get a degree and all that stuff. Hey, listen, hang it up on your wall, but if you don't get the crown of life, go network and find out how to act in this kind of meeting, how to write a resume, how to interview for a certain type of job, how to file this type of paperwork, how to navigate through the complexities of human relationships. But if you don't have Jesus, it means nothing. You have done it for absolutely nothing, and you might as well had been unproductive in your life, because the only thing that gives meaning is when you know God. One philosopher said, not only do we know God by Jesus Christ alone, but we know ourselves only by Jesus Christ. We know life and death only through Jesus Christ. Apart from Jesus Christ, we do not know what is our life, nor our death, nor God, nor ourselves. As you prepare for this next step in your life, you make sure that you know God. And if you're going to know God, you make sure you know Jesus. David says to Solomon, yes, you are going to take another step. Yes, you are going to do some things for the Lord. Yes, you may accomplish some things. Yes, you're going to have power. Yes, you're going to have opportunity. He says, but you got to know God. And the second thing he says is that you need to make sure you serve God. See, there's a lot of people who will claim, hey, I grew up in church. I went to St. John Missionary Baptist Church. I know Pastor Robinson. I got baptized, and I was on the usher board, and I did this, and my family prayed and had family dinners together. But if you ask them, did they serve God? Y'all too, everybody in here probably too young for this, but it used to be a song, R&B song. It said, I can tell you lying, because when you replying, stutter, stutter. People just be stuttering. Do you know God? Do you serve God? They start stuttering. What does it mean to serve God? They start stuttering. But he says, you serve God with a willing heart. Deuteronomy 10 and 12 says, you fear the Lord, obey him, love him, serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Now, how do you serve the Lord? Make peace with this. Most often, it means to serve others. And to do that, ask yourself two questions. What has God given me, and am I doing what God wants me to do with it? There's a story of a young boy who went to school one day. He was at lunch, and he recognized that three of his classmates did not have enough money to eat. So he went into his own pocket, and he paid for lunch. He recognized that they never really had anything to eat, but he also knew that he was not going to have enough money to pay for them every single day. So he went to his father and he said, Daddy, listen, I'm a growing boy. I want to start taking my lunch to school because I'm going to need to pack a lot of lunch to feed myself. So his father said, yeah, you can take your lunch to school. I'll go buy the groceries, but you've got to make your lunch yourself. So the father, he kept up his side of the bargain. He went to the grocery store. He bought the groceries. He gave the boy the groceries. He said, so you're going to have to get up in the morning and pack this lunch. Sure enough, the boy got up every morning and packed 8 sandwiches so that he could feed his classmates. He did this for 2 years straight until finally, I guess he got convicted and he went to his dad. He said, Dad, I got to confess something to you. He says, I haven't been eating all these sandwiches. I took these sandwiches so that I could feed my classmates, and the father laughed at him. He said, I knew that you were doing something like that because nobody's going to eat 8 sandwiches every day. That's the reason why I always kept the groceries in stock. Now, follow that young man's example in your own life. Take a look around you and see what is needed. Consider what you have and then go out and meet the need. Because in the same way that the boy's father provided what he needed to feed his classmates, God has everything you need to impact those around you. So you go to God and you ask him to give you good stock of joy, give you good stock of peace, give you good stock of patience, to stock you up with love, to stock you up with self-control, to stock you up with kindness, to give you goodness, to give you faithfulness, and to give you gentleness. Every morning when you get up, make it your determination to pack perseverance, to pack truth, to pack encouragement, to pack grace, and to pack mercy, because what God gives you might stop somebody from committing suicide. What God gives you might give somebody the strength to go on. What God gives you might give somebody the strength to hold their head up high. What God gives you might heal somebody from things they have experienced. What God gives you might point somebody to Christ. Get your mind off of yourself. Look around and do something with what God has given you. You cannot serve God by living your life for you. You cannot serve God by wasting time with the time that God has given you. If I lend my money to you and you go and waste it and you don't use it for what you said you would use it for, I'm coming to get you. And you best believe that if God has given you time and you chose not to use it how he told you, he got something for you. He got something for you. He says, know God. He says, serve God. Then he says, seek God. In other words, be intentional about your relationship with God. Do not treat him like an afterthought or an imaginary friend that appears when you sing a song. He is not born. Y'all don't know. I don't know if y'all know anything, but y'all might. He's not born in the purple dinosaur. This is not a show on Nick Jr. God created you. You didn't give God life. And no matter what somebody else can do for you, they can't do for you what God can do for you. And so consider, you want to know how you got I told you that they suffered captivity because they had idols. They rebelled against God. You want to know if you have an idol in your heart? You want to know if you worship a false god? Ask yourself how much energy you give to getting attention from some little girl. And then ask yourself, do you give an ounce of that type of attention to God Almighty? And I'll tell you something, if you got the and oom and ah, be careful, because God will allow you to experience bondage to teach you that you better honor him. To teach you that you better stop serving false gods and putting other people before him. God has no peers. He does not have a peer group. God does not have a clique. He will not share his space with anybody, and he will not honor you if you don't honor him. You seek God. You know how to get on the phone. You know how to what is slide into somebody's DMs. You know how to talk that talk when you want to talk that talk and get something from somebody. Read your Bible. Listen, say a prayer. Start a conversation with God. When Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and I'll close here in a second, but I'm going to have to say what God told me to say. When Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, he didn't say, if you pray. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who walked as a man, said, when you pray. Meaning he expects us to pray. Prayer is our invitation to God to intervene in our lives. Prayer not only changes situations, but prayer primarily changes us so we can be who we are supposed to be no matter what the circumstance. Yeah, yeah. Don't allow the fact that God didn't turn your situation into what you wanted to be the reason why you don't pray. Jesus prayed and said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. If Jesus had to submit to the Father, who you think you are? That you get to neglect your relationship with God because he ain't doing what you want to do. Listen, you spent the majority of your life doing what you want to do and you tore it up. You made decisions an ant on the ground wouldn't even make. But you want God to take advice from you? No, you let God be God. And you ask God to change your heart and change your mind so that it is in alignment with what God wants for your life. God instructs us to pray. He invites us to pray and has given us the privilege to pray, not because God needs us to pray, but because we need to pray. So pray about anything. Pray about everything as often as you can, from the big stuff to the small stuff. The new job opportunity or that test that you didn't study for. You pray about everything because prayer is your automatic connection to God Almighty. I had to tell you the story about me praying before a test I didn't study for another time. Anyways, seek him through prayer and seek him in his word. Psalm 105 says, listen, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Ephesians 6 says this, the word is the sword of the spirit. The word is the sword of the spirit. So if the word is the sword of the spirit, that implies that the spirit is going to use the word of God in your life to fight spiritual battles for you. So if you're getting whipped spiritually, it may be because you are not yielding the sword. You don't get to speak your words over you. You got to speak God's words over your life. You don't get to come up with your own truth. You got to speak God's truth. Your truth ain't going to set you free. Your truth going to confuse you because your truth changes from one day to the next. One minute you're in love with this person. One minute you're not. One minute you're praying for a job. One minute you hate it. One minute you want to go to this school and major in one thing. Next minute you're changing your degree. Listen, you don't know what's best for you. God does. You have got to have the sword of the Spirit. The word is worth more than a college education. It contains the answers to all of life's problems, and it is meant to be bread for daily use and not cake for special occasions. You will need direction from God. You will have battles to fight. You will want to hear from God. Therefore, you need to read the word. And then you need to connect with other people who support your walk with Christ. And I said it, I'm sorry, I don't really want to rush through this here, so I'm just going to have to say this. I'll be done in a few minutes. About 3 years ago, I was in the gym with a friend of mine. And I think I took the gym a little more seriously than he did. And we went late at night. That's something I don't typically do. We went late at night, about 10 o'clock. And we decided that we were going to do chest day, right? So we're going to bench press. And while I'm there, I'm looking at this bench, and I'm like, you know what? Something say don't do this. But I decide that I'm going to do it. So it's about 300 pounds. I'm like, I've done this before. So I get up there, and I, you know, it felt a little bit funny, but okay, I got it. Muscle a little bit cold. Okay, I went the second time. I'm like, you know what? I need to rack this. So I move the weight back to rack it. But just as I did that, I thought to myself, man, you've done this before. You can do it again. Why don't you just move back, pump it one more time? I moved it back over my chest. And just as I did that, the weight just came out of my hands. Came out of my hands. Like, not on some, I was down, I'm up here, came out of my hands, 300 pounds. Now, sadly, my spotter, my friend, was texting. So he wasn't even there to soften the blow. He sees it, he runs, he's silly, he takes the weight and he throws it. But when he throws the bar, it hits my leg. So now I don't know what's hurting. So it's two other guys in the gym and they stop what they're doing and they come over and they get the weight off of me, they get me to the hospital. What I learned from that is this. You cannot go to the gym of life with people who are not as serious about a life with Christ as you are. Because when the weight of life gets heavy, when temptations gets heavy and they fall on you, you don't need somebody texting. You don't need somebody looking another direction. You need somebody who loves you, cares about you enough to pay attention to how you are so that they can help you. And God forbid you walk life with somebody that don't have, that they don't understand how to help you. Because y'all know some people, man, they get in your ear, and if you let them in your ear, they'll ruin your marriage. They will down talk everybody you know. The moment you let them know something is wrong. So instead of taking the weight off of you, they take it and they hit your leg with the weight. So now not only is your heart hurting, but you can't walk the way you're supposed to walk. If you're gonna do this life and if you're gonna walk with Christ, walk with somebody who's serious about their walk with Christ. One trend I saw very quickly when I went to Clayton State is there's a certain way to really connect with people, right? You connect with them based on what you like and care about. When I got to Clayton State, first of all, I was a shy person then. I'm not really now. But I got to Clayton State. Nobody really knew each other, right? By the end of the day, there were two groups of people who had friends. By the end of the day, first day there. The basketball players, because they all knew, listen, we about to go hoop, we gonna go play some basketball. Them and the pot smokers. All the potheads, it took 5 hours for them to find out who knew the plug, who had the plug, and how to get some. It's amazing that in this world, people are more bold about neutral things, because I'm not saying basketball is bad, neutral things, and then things that are not pleasing to God. So much so that they're vocal about it, they connect based on it, and then they develop relationships on that. On the other side, we're quiet about our faith in Christ. See, if you're gonna seek God, you gotta seek him by being open about your faith in Christ. Don't claim to know God and not know how to tell somebody about him. Don't claim to know God and not know how to introduce somebody to him. Don't claim to know God and okay, it's smaller kids in here. Don't claim to know God and be weak when it comes to declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior and that he's blessed you and that he's kept you and that he's provided for you. If Jesus has done something for you, you ought to tell somebody. It does not have to be grand. You can tell them about the small things, about how he kept you from losing, about how he kept you from stepping on somebody. Tell somebody about Jesus. He says you know God, you serve God, you seek God, and he says you be strong and you do the work, and I'm hastening to my seat. He says you be strong and you do the work. Yeah. Don't just be strong, do the work. Strength and ability are qualities that we respect, but they're also qualities that we neglect. And so a lot of people don't ever see the benefits of their strength. They don't see the benefits of their strength. There was a guy that I went to school with, Clayton State again. This dude was genetically gifted to look like a bodybuilder. Ain't have to do nothing. I mean, this dude would go and lift 5 pounds. I'm over there with 70 and 85 looking at him like, how did this happen? He would go from small to huge and swole like within a week. And I was just like, God, this don't even make no sense. Wasn't even as strong as me, but he was genetically gifted to look like that. As many people told him, hey, listen, you need to do something with this. You need to make some money off of this. You need to be coaching people. He was not disciplined enough to do so. And so he never reaped the benefits that he could have reaped with what God has given him. It's not enough for you to be strong. You got to do the work. It's not enough to be given an opportunity. You've got to do the work. It's not enough for you to be intellectual. You've got to do the work. It's not enough to be eloquent. You've got to do the work. It's not enough for God to give you an open door. You've got to do the work when you get in the room. It may take some time. It may be challenging. You may be fearful, but do the work. Other people may not like you. Folks may not understand. Somebody might not show up to give you a hand clap of praise, but go do the work. You may have some heartbreak. You may have some setback. It may inconvenience you, but go and do the work. Because even if you do the work and it does not turn out the way you wanted it to turn out, so what? The old folks used to say, he will understand and say, well done. Don't let Jesus come back and find you with your work undone. You can either be faithful, be good, and be a servant, or you can have your work. Go and do the work. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Do the work. Take what God has given you and put it to work. He says, Solomon, be strong, and you do what God has called you to do. You be who God has called you to be. You say what God has called you to say. You rule how God has called you to rule. You handle business like God has called you to handle business. Do the work. And lastly, he says, you know God, serve God, seek God, be strong and do the work. And then he says this. He says, don't be afraid or discouraged. He says, God is going to go with you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you until all of the work has been finished for the service of the house of the Lord. David had been a warrior. He had seen victories and defeats. He was a man after God's own heart. He understood courage and fear. He knew that Solomon may have moments where he thought he could not make it, that he would fail, and that God had forgotten about him. I'm not an old man. I'm just slightly older than what I used to be. But look here. I know that there are times where even when you don't show it, there may be some negative feelings and some doubts and some frustrations and reasons in your head why you should not have faith in God. But David says to Solomon, don't be afraid or discouraged. As you live this life, as you move on to the next stage, as you move on to the new school, to the new grade, to new opportunities, don't be afraid or discouraged. You are human. You have the right to feel. You have the right to think. You will have emotions. But God gave you emotions for you to control. He did not give you emotions for them to control you. You can feel disappointed. You can feel afraid. You can feel nervous and out of place. You can feel unsure of yourself. You can feel doubtful, but do not allow these feelings to control you or cause you to give up on God or yourself. Why? Because God is with you and will never leave you nor forsake you. God has good credit. God's got a good resume. God's got a good record. He is known to be with his children in storms. God goes with his children in battles. He goes with his children in captivity. He goes with you through hurt feelings, confusion, when you feel small, when you fall, when you need comfort, when you need strength, when you are rejected, when you need direction, when you need to pass that test again that you did not fancy, that you didn't study for. That's my testimony. God is with you, and the presence of God calms storms. It removes fears and doubt. It defeats giants. It heals diseases. It enables man to climb higher than he could imagine. It provides for us when we don't have enough. It comforts us when people don't accept us. It knocks down doors for us when it knocks down walls for us where there is no door for us. It makes our lives meaningful and makes sure that we do what we have been called to do and positioned to do, and that we are who God created us to be. And so know this. God has chosen you for life, and he's chosen you for this moment. Not only has he chosen you, he's made you responsible for honoring him with the life that he's given you. And in light of that, make it your business to know God, to actually serve God. And I mean that, like, because I know some of y'all, I really mean that. Serve God. Seek God and be intentional about your relationship with him. Be strong, or be whatever you need to be. Be strong, be humble, be patient, be faithful. Be strong and do the work that he's positioned you to do. And while you do that, and things happen in your life that come against what God has declared, don't be afraid or discouraged. Because the Lord God, my God, the one I can testify about, is with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. If you receive that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen.
Amen. Truly bless God, amen, for the word, amen, that was preached and proclaimed on today. Amen. Amen. Certainly pray that everyone heard the Lord speaking this morning. Amen. We hope and pray that those who did hear the Lord speak this morning, if you don't belong to him, amen, if you don't realize you are chosen and that you have a responsibility to give your life to him, amen, we ask that everyone to stand around the building. We want to give you an invitation to give your life over to the Lord this morning. Is there one who's fallen, amen, and realize you need to get your life back on track with the Lord? Amen. The word says through the mouth of Jeremiah that God is married to the backslider. Amen. The word says a righteous man falls 7 times, but he's going to get up. Amen. The one this morning who've walked away, who've turned your back, amen, who feel they've just slipped down, they just couldn't get up, but they realize God is trying to pick them back up this morning. If you're here this morning, please come. Amen. Is there one to be restored to the Lord this morning? Amen. Is there one? Amen. Is there one desiring to become a member of St. John Missionary Baptist Church? Amen. Amen. If you desire to become a member of this church, amen, please come forward. Amen. If you say, I just want to be in a church somewhere, but I don't know about this one, come, amen. We'll show you how to find the Lord, and we'll turn you on to the various churches, amen, that may meet the needs that you have. Amen. Because one thing about this walk with the Lord, amen, there's one thing about church, y'all. Amen. It ain't about St. John. It ain't about First AB. It ain't about this church or that church, amen. It's about all those churches that are covered by the blood of the Lord, amen, who's walking with the Lord, amen. Is there one this morning? Amen. Is there one? Let us bow our head. Father God, this morning we do tell you thank you for your word. I ask now, God, that you would look upon this man that you've sent this way this morning to bring forth your word. I ask, God, you just cover him, O Lord God, order his steps. Direct his path, God. Give him, God, safe passage, O Lord God, wherever his feet may tread, God, wherever he has proclaimed the gospel, God. I'm praying, God, you just continue to endow him with power from on high, God, to preach your word. God, even now we stand this morning, O Lord God, to ask that you would touch all of us in here, God, the word that we've received on today, God, help us, God, to hide it in our heart, God, that we do not sin against you, and that we may, God, know, God, that we have a God to glorify, Father God. We pray even now that those, God, who have been afraid to this point, oh Lord God, to continue the journey, Father God, to move on to the next milestone in life, God, that you, God, would just touch them by your Spirit and allow them, oh Lord God, to walk forward and give you credit for all that you're doing in their life, God. Even now, Lord God, those who may have desired to give their life to you, but for whatever reason, God, they have been afraid, oh Lord God. They feel hindered, oh Lord God. They're ashamed, God. I'm praying, God, before the sun goes down, God, you would allow them, God, to give their life to you, God, and confess it to somebody, God, that they've given their life over to you, God. And even now, God, we pray that you continue to bless this church, oh Lord God. Continue, God, to send us a fresh word from you. Continue, Lord God, to bless each and every member here, God. Oh, God, each and every friend of this church, God. Oh, God, those who are joined by Facebook today, God, I'm praying that you look upon them, God. And, God, those who are going to see the word on YouTube, God, at a later time, God, we ask, God, you would allow the word, oh, Lord God, to move in their hearts, God. Compel them, God, to give themselves over to you, God. God, those who have been slack, oh, Lord God, with the gifts that you've given them, I'm praying, God, you would stir it up now, God, that they can be deliberate for you, God. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you and God keep you. Amen.
We've been honoring a lot of people and a lot of accomplishments have been made. Now, on that note of accomplishments that have been made, let's not stop right there. Let's continue to grow within the church, within yourselves, within the opportunities that's going to be given to you. Always... You know, my grandma used to tell me, always remember that people are watching you and God is watching you. So he's going to, you know, like Minister Jordan said, like there's going to be trouble, but you determine on how the trouble is going to come and how bad the storm is. So next we will have our choir. I can't say adult, but we'll have our choir.
Congratulations to all of our youth. Just keep moving, keep pushing, and keep God first in all that you do. Amen? Amen. I have recruited my little girl here, whom I've not sung with in a while. So she's going to sing with us this morning. Amen. And St. John, we are a church that walk by faith and not by sight, and all of our hope is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Race that we run, you gotta have endurance, 'cause it's a marathon. I was born sure enough to win, in pursuit with faith until the end. I'm going to have a
strong finish,
because I have
strong faith.
I'm going to have a
strong finish.
I'm going to have a
strong finish,
because I have
strong faith.
I'm going to have a
strong finish.
I have
strong faith.
Listen, life's transitions all in my way, but still I'm onward bound
each and every day.
No matter what, I'll continue to run for the rest of my life, till my work is done. Going to have a
strong finish,
because I have
strong faith.
I'm going to have a
strong finish.
I have
strong faith.
I'm going to have a
strong finish,
because I have
strong faith.
I'm going to have a
strong finish.
I have
strong faith.
Do the chant, say
strong finish.
Come on, church, y'all know this song.
Strong finish.
Everybody lift it up, say
strong finish, strong finish.
I have
strong faith.
Do the chant, say
strong finish, strong finish, strong finish.
Everybody lift it up, say
strong finish, strong finish.
I have
strong faith.
Now, do we have any faith believers, any faith riders for the Lord? Come on, y'all, let's sing this song this morning. Get up on your feet and sing this song. God promised,
God promised. He be with me through every step that I take.
In this race,
in this race, say strong, finish
strong.
Amen for this service on today, amen, and certainly to all of the graduates, all those who are going up to the next level in school, amen, and also if you're getting promoted on your job, anything, we bless God for you. And we do ask that you really and truly remember the word. It says, my people perish for a lack of knowledge, amen. Now, with that being said, if you listen around to what you hear on TV, what you hear about the economy, they will discourage you from education. Amen, somebody. They'll discourage you from education, but don't allow that to be a discouragement. Amen. I think this is a time that we as people need to become more educated. Amen. It's not enough, amen, just to get through your high school days. If you can't go to college, go to a tech school. If you got any, go to college. Go to college. Get something better. Amen. If you got your associates, go back and get your bachelor's. If you got your bachelor's, get your master's. Keep going as much as you possibly can. Amen. Amen. And don't, amen, anyone, amen, any adult, amen, I don't care if you think you don't have money, don't discourage your children from going, amen. There's so many grants, amen, there's scholarships, everything is out there. And there's people who has it, who's willing to help you get it. Amen. And finally, I'll say the word says you have not because you ask not, amen. If you don't go through that door, amen, if you don't put in an application or a resume, amen, you're not going to get it, amen. And I also want to take the opportunity to announce, amen, our 2022 recipient of the Zion Missionary Baptist Union Scholarship. Amen. Both of our graduates applied and both of our graduates, amen, received the scholarship. Amen. 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 God bless you. Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father God, we do bless you today for all that's been said, all that's been done, all that's been seen, all that's been heard, Father. We pray, God, your blessings upon these graduates, upon these who've gone to the next step in elementary, junior high, and high school, Father. Those who are starting off their college days, God, I'm asking that you watch over them, God. Strengthen them, God. And please, God, allow them to remember you, God, their creator, God, in the days of their youth, Father. I'm praying, God, as they move up in life, God, they do not forget about you. I pray, God, that when all of the darkness of this world seem to be all around them, God, I'm asking you, Father God, by your spirit, through the blood of Jesus, God, that you would just cover them and remind them, God, that they belong to you, Father God. Keep them, God, from the ways and the woes of this world, Father God. And please, God, keep them in perfect peace. And God, keep their hearts and their minds stayed on you, God. Even now, God, we pray this morning, God, even as we prepare to close for those who are sick and distressed, God, those, God, who need you, God, we pray, God, the work you begin in them, God, the healing work, that you will continue, God, and complete it, God, in the day of Jesus Christ. Father, that which is prepared now for us to partake in fellowship this morning, we ask your blessing upon it. Each hand that's done anything to provide for, God, we ask you to bless them, God. And please, God, as we leave out of this place, God, keep us, God, under your watchful eye of care, God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen.
St. John's Nation, I hope you enjoyed listening to Pastor Michael H.L. Robinson Sr. bring the word that God has given him. If you'd like to see Pastor live, you can visit our church at 715 Winding Road, Kingston, Georgia, or watch him on Facebook Live at SJNBC Kingston. You can also follow Pastor on Instagram and Twitter at SJNBC Kingston. If you like our ministry and you would like to donate, you can go to our website at www.sjnbckingston.org, or you can give on Givify at St. John's Missionaries Baptist Church, Kingston. I hope you have a blessed day, and like always, always be blessed.